for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday evening, December the 31st, New Year's Eve, 2003. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Carl Fox of Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, is the speaker on this tape.
We have some serious problems. How many of you know good Christian people that will not go to church anymore? Be honest, every one of you do. Every one of you do, including us pastors. And you know, I've heard some of these people that are holier than thou say, oh, they're going to go to hell because they don't go to church. Well, if you drove them out of church, where are you going? You know, Brother Hickman shared about the plans of the enemy to control the whole world and the system. Well, this one here, I can prove right from the Word of God that this is exactly why the churches have gone to hell. Excuse me, but that's in the Bible. Hell is in the Bible. Some people say, oh, that's a swear word. Well, Satan would like to have it taken out. But see, we have a serious problem, you know, and we talk about having that glorious church and everything. It's in the Bible. It's going to happen. Do we want to be part of it? Raise your hand if you want to be part of it. Because anybody don't want to raise their hand over this one, I want you to leave because they don't want the opposition. This is a serious issue I'm talking about, okay? And I'll keep it as light as I can. But in Matthew, well, let's go to Deuteronomy 23:2 first, please. 23:1 says that you can't go in if you can't reproduce, is basically what it's saying. You can't produce seed, you can't go in the congregation of the Lord. Well, verse 2, it says, and thy elders and thy judges, whoops, I'm in the verse 1. Well, let's try another chapter here. Verse 2, it says, a bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his 10th generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Now, I've talked to scholars, and I've always took it as 40 years. I've had some say, no, 25 to 60. So, but that's just take the 40 years. That's 400 years. So, you can't sit here and say that this curse could not be in my family because you don't know what happened two generations ago. We're talking 10, okay? And the birth, what is a curse? It's legal authority. When we have a curse on our life, that's legal authority that Satan has to minister his steal, kill, and destroy. And as long as it's there, he legally can do it. And if it's legal, God cannot stop it because he gave freedom of will. He set things in standard, and if he was to stop it, he would break his own word. And in the torture of mankind, Satan has hoped that God would buckle and say, I've had enough. I don't want him to suffer anymore. But God will not break his word, okay? But he provided when Jesus died on Calvary, when he was nailed to that cross, Satan did everything he could to kill him that night that they held him. But he refused to die because he had to die on the cross to get us free from the curse. Yet the majority of Christianity does not believe a Christian can be cursed. You know, I started teaching this about 8-9 years ago. The churches I was welcome to, the circuits, they all closed. I said, what are you doing, God? Because I was amazed at the power in the message about this. I didn't know you guys existed. I didn't know you were doing it. You know, I'd never heard of Derek Prince. I'm sorry, but I hadn't. You know, and, you know, I learned a lot of this by hard knocks and studying the Word and seeking the Lord. And I was real thankful to see I wasn't alone because we got feeling really alone because all of a sudden nobody wanted us to teach. You know, I wouldn't, you know, I'm not trying to get a pity party. It's just a reality because the closer you get to truth, the less popular you get. Yeah. One of the curses in Christianity is the guys that are really tuned up with the Lord got a big church. Well, maybe they do, maybe they are, but generally not, okay? There could be exceptions, all right? I'm not going to throw an accusation. But, you know, people are staying away from this camp by the thousands, all right? And I praise God for those of you that have come and for those of you that continue to come. And do not forget this camp when you go home. Keep these people in your prayers. All right? They're under attack. Our ministry is under attack all the time. You know, and I thank God that we have got some intercessors that will sit right up in the middle of the night. God wakes them up. And they won't keep praying until they get released. And I've had people say, what happened on such and such day? So there's been times where it was a real hard time. I just kind of keep track and wait for the calls. But see, we're part of a body, but we have got to have some organization. And I'm not talking about denominationalisms and separations, okay? You know, that is not a design of God. You know, we don't have to. There's foundation of what Christianity is. And we're required to agree with one another on that because we cannot be a Christian without believing those things. But there are going to be little issues that we're going to disagree on. And if we fly off the handle, then Satan's winning. Okay? You know, there's things that I really was ready to die for at one time, I believed. One of them was that Christians couldn't be cursed. I really believed that. And I nearly got crushed. Getting back out of Eastern Europe years ago, you know, the things that happened to us, I won't bore you with it, but it was unbelievable. Absolutely. I mean, everything was going wrong. Everything. And after prayer and fasting, God gave me one word, curse. And I didn't even believe that. I said, you know, if you don't believe that stuff, can't get you, right? If I don't believe in gravity, I can walk through the air. Bloop. You know what I mean? Give me a break. How stupid can we get? So I didn't know what to do. I asked God to break the curse. And my associate pastor says, was you messing in Russia with witches in Russia, Eastern Europe? I said, no, of course I wasn't. You know, I'm stupid. I was, but I didn't realize it. Because we'd had a showdown, and we had victory. But they had revenge. See, and the enemy will take care of us in our ignorance. Okay? He also takes care of us in our disobedience. That's what brings curses.
Curses. The Lord will take care of us.
The enemy will take care of us in a bad way.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, his way is destruction, to make these curses come to pass. There are things that we do that bring these things on. It's been taught around here so much, I'm not going to spend time with that. All right? Well, I want to cover what is really breaking up the church. I've taught this. Some churches say, oh, that was wonderful, brother, and then who's the next guy coming in? But some of these churches have done something with it and have quickly doubled. Okay, do you want to see where you worship the getting crowded? By the way, when it gets crowded, don't go in a stupid building program. It's a curse to go in debt. It's not a blessing. Even for a church to borrow money to build a building, ooh-hoo-hoo, you are indebted, and you're a servant to who you're indebted to. It's in the Bible, all right? It's a good thing to stay away from. Why can't you have several services? Well, I can't keep preaching that much. Well, sure, then pray for God to send somebody in to help, all right? Come on, it's like, the world's not going to stop if you get a headache. Did you notice that? See, we're part of a body. There's only one head, and yet so many times in this curse that's come in, men begin to think they're the head of the church. Men or women begin to think that they're building the church, or they're building this great ministry. God don't need you. Get over it. Okay, we need Him. All right? And He is the builder. He said in Matthew, He says, I'll build the church. Well, then why are we all trying to build something instead of working with the Lord? Seriously, folks. But we have people that have been driven out of the church. And I'm going to show you the process. And it comes through the bastard curse. So when we get done, we're going to break it. I know some of you have done it before. But that's participate, okay? This changes things. All right? And then there's something that we need to do after this curse has been broken. But we have got sheep that are not in the sheepfold. And most churches, to raise their money, because they're in debt to the banks, have got in praise teams that entertain. They worship their praise and they praise their worship. If I'm offending you, hallelujah, come talk to me afterwards. Okay? But see, these things aren't right. But we have to have hot praise. Everybody expects it. Well, Jesus expects the Word of God to be taught. All right? Jesus expects that He can have some freedom. Because see, that church is just a building. This is just a building. It's been sanctified and set apart. But if this place burned, God forbid, we still are the church. All right? Because the ecclesia is the called out. You know, and because we've been set up Constantine, I do not believe, was a Christian. You know, sorry if I broke a bubble, but or shot a sacred cow, boom. But because he put Christians on the tailspin. Read your Christian history. But the thing about it is he took the pastor and made him the head of the church. There's nowhere in the Bible it says he should be. It says Jesus should be the head. Any gift ministry could be the head of the church. Okay? But I'm not against pastors. That happens to be, I was ordained as one years and years ago, okay? I've done it for years. But see, and I'm not picking at Pastor Chris or any other pastor in here, okay? But what I'm saying is see, we set and we elevate people. Jesus was said, called good master, and he says, whoa! There's only one good. It's the Father that sent me. We are all in this together, and unfortunately, everybody expects the pastors to do it, and then they just come in and they write a check. And maybe they even fudge on the 10%. And maybe they don't go beyond that. And maybe they don't do it at all. Well, then there's a curse of poverty. Read it. It's in Malachi. But the thing about it is that we have all this chaotic situations going on, and the word pastor, I don't remember the Greek word, your scholars do, but anyway, it's generally translated shepherd. If a pastor is not a shepherd, he's a false pastor. We heard about false prophets. We've heard about but false pastors. A pastor that does not shepherd the flock is false, and I can prove it in the Word. I won't bother tonight, but it's true, and I'm not doing this as an accusation. But considering what, I'll tell you a story about goats, and then we're going to look into this. A goat has personality. Sheep, you know what sheep are? That's a sheep. Yeah, we're called sheep. We're designed to have follow, okay? Follow our shepherd. And a pastor has to be that shepherd, see? But the thing about it is that they get in these people that are so intellectually bright or whatever to get behind these things to entice and bring people in. You know, cutting edge. You ever heard cutting edge? Oh, he's such a cutting edge teacher. Well, give me a break. If that's what you're after, you know, make sure that cutting edge is the truth of God's Word. I've been listening ever since I've been coming here to the truth of God's Word. Amen? And isn't that why you keep coming back? Amen? Because, see, the truth of God's Word brings deliverance. It's one of the key ingredients. And, see, an entertaining preacher, that's fine. But if the truth of the Word isn't happening, there's a problem. But, see, we built this big mausoleum to ourselves. We even forgot to pray about it until after we'd already started it, probably. But now we have this big thing on the hill. And we got a bigger Felix, the steeple. Follow that one back, okay? But we got the biggest one in town now. Well, it won't be long because the first whatever breakoffs down there are already going in debt, see? And see, that's not, competition is not a godly feature. If I'm esteeming you better than me, you tell me where the competition is. Okay? See, and these are things, and a lot of people have quit going to church because of that, and that's not the right answer. That's not the right answer. But God designed for the pastor, and Constantine looked and he says, well, this one's getting attention. Those apostles make so much noise, they're getting it. Those evangelists are. And, you know, da-da-da. Ooh, the pastors, looks to me like we could really work in the ego of man there. So he set up for the pastor to be the head. In fact, he called him something else, priest. Pope, you know, pineapple butter. But anyway, then all of a sudden, here's a man, and he's so successful. He's over a church of 500,000 people. Oh, yeah? Show me a Bible. Jesus didn't do that. Oh, but that's the greater things we shall do. I don't think so. See, but what's happened, what God does, and this is an amazing thing, and I went around America for a lot of years starting churches. Get them healthy, and pastor rise up, and we moved on. In fact, it was good training for Romania. And because we've trained them to do that, they're crossing the borders. They're going out and doing it. So, because we were taught to make people depend on us and we had job security. And that's not it. You know, you do your job really good and God gives you another job. See, if you're working for Him. But anyway, what's happened is, but a healthy church, for every 10, 12 to 20 people, there'll be a pastor. He's not recognized. And a sharp pastor will spot them, man, and he will not look at them as competition. Okay? He will raise them up. Because how can God make your church grow if you don't have enough help, right? How many times have you fought that one? Amen? I'm going to point at you because you're sitting right in the open. God bless you, brother. It's a good point. I can move too. But I know you know that because I hear how you teach the word. I see your heart, see? That's one of the things you see in a pastor because he's searching the heart of God to find out what people need to hear. That's one of the ingredients a pastor does. The other gifts are involved in it too. But see, so the goats come in and a goat has personality. Now you got a big church debt, okay? So you got to figure out how to get in the crowd. Well, the way to get it is fleece the flock to pay the debt and sheep thief. In Elephant Butte, the town, it's hard to tell where it starts and through the consequences quit. That's exactly what a guy's got. But he is really being praised as a wonderful church builder because he's built it debt-free. Biggest church in the three towns there together. And guess what? There's not one conversion there. Not one person off the street that got born again. They've been all stripped out of all their churches. And all these churches are struggling. And if I was a pastor in that town, which I'm not because I'm on the road too much, I would be in that man's face. I mean, I don't care where he had coffee. I'd be there to sit down and drink coffee with him because he needs to be one to the Lord. You know, I mean, because he's not serving the Lord and doing those kind of things. But he's got, you know, so he's ahead of it. He don't have the debt. But once you have the debt, then it's not about reaching souls. Read the Great Commission, the last words Jesus said before he got out of here. If you're not doing it, you're missing the mark. You do that right here in this camp, and it's a deliverance camp. See? You know why? Because you're concerned about the fivefold ministry. You're concerned about reaching the lost. But what happens is now they got the debt, and they're paying interest. God loves interest, doesn't he? Why does he talk about usury, huh? Well, anyway, so now we got a debt, and we got to meet the debt. Well, we got to have hot praise. You know, and I know of a case where they had a man in there. He was a drummer. This guy was so good, you know. And he started drawing people. And other people were leaving their church to be on this praise team. And guess what? The drummer wasn't even born again. But that's not a surprise. A lot of pastors aren't. Okay? It's sad. It's a sad truth. You know, that's why when we talk to each other, we need to talk about salvation. Not to expose one another, but talk about salvation to make sure that we are born again. Because the ultimate is to bring people out of the clutches of the enemy through the new birth. I mean, that's the greatest deliverance. That's the greatest deliverance. See, then the rest of it all will start flowing as the pastor, you know, is shepherding them. And see, it's not the pastor's job to go out and win everybody. God has also put in that, even if it's a dozen people, there's at least one evangelist there. See, God will have the gifts there, and you need somebody to raise them up. And you can't do it by competition. But if you bring in a praise team that, you know, like this particular one where the man's not even born again, guess what? The next thing you know, you're singing songs that are not biblically accurate. All right? That's one, something to watch out for. Because something that has a melody and a tune will go, la, 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 right to your mind. And you're sitting there trying to think, you know, it's really a good message that Doc shared this afternoon. Now, what was that about? See, it's amazing, but when you put music to it, so the songs have got to be accurate, but all of a sudden, it's not important, and it's causing a serious problem. You know, and so what's going on is people are being fed very poorly. Then the next thing that happens is pretty soon, if the pastor isn't cooperating, he's going to be out. Because invariably, what happens in this kind of situation, Jezebel and Absalom enter in. And I have seen so many times in these, I travel all over the United States, okay? And I work with churches that are struggling. And we always have working with churches struggling in Romania because they're new. Good Lord, come work with me as gypsies if you want a challenge. It'll bless you. You will be so blessed and so tired at the end of the day. But see, these things, if they're not dealt with, you cannot ignore the devil. Because he don't go to sleep once he gets in. But you get these two strong men in there. It's amazing how instead of fighting with each other, they'll work together. And you watch churches be destroyed. it's a bad thing. But what is the first sheep that they want to drive out? The pastors and the gift ministries. You know, Satan knew I had a gift ministry before I even knew what it was. And a few years ago, my sister died, and the family said, would you officiate her funeral? And I said, yeah. And it was tough. But we went, you know, when we got to the cemetery, I just decided, Lord, if it's all right, I'm just going to read the 23rd Psalm and dismiss everybody. And I did, but then the anger rose up in me, and it was godly anger. And I said, Satan, you're not winning. I said, there's sick and injured people out here. I'd already done a salvation message. But I said, they're sick and injured and hurting people. And I said, this is a memory to my sister, Evelyn. Healing's available. Whoever wants to come on up. And I went over about as far as for me to dock. And I told the grave digger guys, I said, they're back behind the lilac bushes drinking beer. I said, put down your beer and finish your job. Get out of here. And so they're over there. They're doing the burying. And we prayed, I don't know, how many, 3-4 hours at the graveside. And, I mean, the people are getting healed, and it's a hot time, you know. And some of my family still hasn't forgiven me for this. How shameful. Yeah, but it's okay. You know, they're working out, I hope. But see, there's three old ladies, and they were in their 95, roughly, years old. And that's not old if you're 90 and 95. But I'm 61, so to me, I guess that's old. Excuse me if anybody's close to that age, okay. 120 is what we're promised if we go for it. But anyway, they were over there. They didn't come, and they're kind of standing. They're kind of talking to each other and standing there like that, and they're smiling and they're looking. And I recognized one of them. One of them was a school teacher, Mrs. Martin. And because he was a Christian when I was a kid, I got kicked out of church when I was 12, and I blamed God. And I figured that the enemy was a Christian, and a lot of them are. But it took God a long time to get a hold of this boy after that. But anyway, and I realized that's Mrs. Martin. And I did everything I could to make her life miserable. I mean, you know, everything. And well, I won't talk about the things I've done, okay, but I made her life miserable. And there was another teacher, and I recognized her, Miss Carlson. And I did the same thing, and she was a neighbor. Just where I lived, the closest neighbor was 2.5 miles away, but they were a neighbor. But anyway, and then there's the other lady there. And there, so finally, we're done praying and everything. And I went over to him. I said, could I pray for you ladies? They said, no. And I said, well, is there anything I do to help you? You've done it. I said, well, what do you mean? They said, when you were a little boy, if I can say this without crying, but see, this is something that keeps me humble. They said, you were a little boy, about 5 years old. Now, I was a Baptist boy, and they were them crazy, holy, rolling Pentecostals. You know, and that was another thing to make fun of them for. But they seen a ministry gift on me. These women says, we've been praying for you every day since we seen that gift, Carl. We come to make sure that our prayer had been answered. You have no idea what God does for you. Okay, so all these things I'm talking about the enemy doing in the church, this is what they've done for, you know, and these ladies, God bless them, have all went to be with the Lord since. But, you know, any rewards I got, they get the first slice. You know, boy, you folks that are intercessors and prayers, prayer warriors, it's an awesome thing. But anyway, these things that are going on in the church, you know, I said I'm going to talk about what a goat does. Well, a goat's cute. It has personality. So you have to have a lot of personality to get the crowd in to pay the bills. And besides, hey, if you're an important preacher, you got to have at least some kind of Lincoln or caddy or something, right? And you have to have these status things. And if you got one, God bless you. You know, I have a jet airplane that's about this big. It's paid for. All right? It hasn't gotten me overseas yet, but I'm the richest man in the world. When I consider what I had, you know, I remember who it was sharing about the money they made in the 70s. I did too. I was making $250,000 a year. I was the most unhappy guy there was. Didn't mean anything. And I was young enough, I should have enjoyed it. When the Lord got a hold of me, man, I knew I had to quit all that stuff. But God does those things. He, you know, I had a pastor tell me about his drive to make money. He said, well, you already had a shot at it. You know, I go, come on, man, don't go for that. Because that's a goat attitude, see? But these goats that have this wonderful personality, they attract. The trouble is a goat in the slaughterhouses, and I've worked in slaughterhouse for a while to do a mission trip one time. 12 hours a day, sixth day, and the Judas goat. And this goat, a goat is made skinnier than the lambs. And he's cute, and he could just entice those little lambies. They're made to follow, and they just la 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 la. And they go down this ramp, and pretty soon there's belts come right along. And they don't touch him, but they grab those little lambs and they squeeze them. And that lamb is taken, the goat jumps aside and goes to attract some more lambs. The lambs are taken to slaughter. Okay, does that give you an example of goat? Okay, but that's not all. But what a goat will do is they will take the sheep and lead them up into the mountain, and they got little points on their feet. And they can grip, and the sheep will fall. Okay, and you get up there, and the nourishment in the food is not what the goat needs, or what the lamb needs, I mean, the sheep. So now they're malnourished. That's happening at the pulpit, see. It's goat food. The sheep have been pushed out, the place is full of goats. I've been in churches one time, and I'm up there, and I'm the guest speaker, and I asked God, and there's five people out of, I don't know, 300-400 people that were Christians in there, and that even cared. We had an interesting time that day. You know, never did get invited back, but see, these goats are taking the place where the sheep should be because there's not a shepherd. But another thing that a goat will do is he'll drink murky water. You know, if you want to see what a shepherd should do, read the 23rd Psalm. I don't know of a better definition. Okay? But see, because a sheep has to be led beside the still waters, okay, for his name's sake. We need the still water. Either that, they take them to a mountain stream and the water's thrashing and churning. Sheep have all this wool. And it, surprisingly, I'm a farm boy, I know some of these things. The wool underneath can soak up water pretty good. On their back, it's so full of lanolin, it just, they're like they're waterproofed. But their head and sheep give up quickly. Okay, see, that's why we need each other. All right? But a sheep will go out there, it'll get so thirsty, it'll try to drink, and it gets soaked up, and it gets heavy. And when it gets tired, it just gives up, and it dies. Okay? So this is, and this happens in the natural. Well, now, if you look at that, when the goats keep coming in, they've driven out, the target is the ones that are pastors. Say, the pastor, you know, the guy that gets the check called Pastor Such and Such, he may not even know who the pastors are in the flock. So when they leave, and guess what? Pastors are always criticized. You ever get criticized, Pastor? Huh? Did you ever have a week where you weren't? You know? And that's the way it is. But, you know, but so these guys are getting criticized because they're pastors, and they get driven out. And everybody said, good riddance. You know, those guys kept talking about stuff that we, you know, we really don't need to get into that. Don't they know the church has changed? You know, those that, I heard one of the sayings was, anytime there's a movement of God, a new movement of God, the people that can't make the change are destroyed. A famous man said that. I hope he knew what he was talking about, because I've seen it happen, and the movement was not of God, see? But the thing about it is that all of a sudden, the sheep are quickly being drawn out. And they get so hurt, they go to another church, maybe two or three churches before they give up. But I've gone to houses where the people have been driven out. And man, you pray with them and it's a Holy Ghost time. You know, they love the Lord. They're reading the Bible. You know, they got stacks of Bibles. You know, they got concordances. They got everything else, but they won't go into church. If some of you are doing that, when we get done tonight, you knock it off, okay? Alright? Alright? Hear me? Seriously. See, it's not our job to go in and start a war. That's not our job, okay? But you, if you go to them people, even though you didn't do it, okay? And this works. And I've given this instruction in churches, and some of them have done it. The first thing is, you all know somebody that doesn't go to church that's a Christian. Every one of you. Probably most of you have a hard time thinking which one first, because there's several, okay? But you go to them and just explain to them what we're talking about here. And tell them it's time that we take the sheepfold back. We don't do it by war, we do it by prayer. And we go in together, we look out for one another, we participate, and God will do the cleanup. God will remove that pastor if he doesn't change. Okay, but the goats will be pushed back by those sheep. If they would just go in, because a goat don't like love. You know, and you go in and love people, It's amazing. Sheila and I, when we got to the Truth or Consequences, we started going to this church. And by, they were so stiff that, you know, I don't know if a tornado would have bent them. We just went in and started loving them. We've had other people move there to work with us. Now that church is so full of life. The pastor started out, he didn't believe a Christian could be cursed. Well, on Thursday nights when I'm there, we do a Bible study, and we're really teaching the Word and how to apply the Word. And guess what? He's front row. He can't really announce it in the church. So guess what? The praise director is announcing it. But, you know, we're not trying to tear up his church. But when we started going there, this little church had 10 people. And the last time I was there, there's 46. And how is it happening? People are going and talking to those sheep that have been run out of the sheepfold and tell them, come on back. And that's what's happening. And now, you know, the next wave starts because, well, where are, you know, the critics will say, well, you're not out there reaching the lost. Well, neither are you, Mr. Critic Guy. But we won't talk about that, all right? But guess what? Those sheep that were driven out of the church, guess who they're hanging out with? Unbelievers. And they start bringing those unbelievers in. And now all of a sudden when there's an altar call, there's people coming running forward in tears. See? You can double the size of your church in 6 months. Seriously. There's so many people in your neighborhood. And I don't even know where you live. There's so many people around the neighborhood of your church that are good Christians that have been hurt and driven out. And brother, you can't do it all. But you've got people in your churches that are movers and shakers, and you can start. And every one of us, see? You know? And what if you can't find a church that you can all work together in? Then maybe you're going to have to start something. But don't do it with the spirit of Absalom. Okay? Not as division or retaliation. All right? Because what we don't do in love, there's no reward for. All right? But anyway, let's take a look at... See, the fruit of the Spirit, if you've sown the bad fruit, you're getting bad fruit, that's the seeds that are planted. And this will go on for generations if the curses aren't broken. This is true with the bastard curse. This you all know. But if you go to, well, I've cut a lot of time off, and I don't need to get in it. But I used to wonder, Doc, thank you. Let me give you, I don't know where you got the info, but you gave it to me because I listened to you. I had always wondered about if the house of Jesse was supposed to be the kings of Israel, why wasn't Jesse? And I hadn't really seen it, and you were sharing one day, and I don't remember what camp it was, and you said it was because of the bastard curse. Well, I went back and double-checked it, and you can go to the lineage of Matthew, and it'll show. Incest curse. It was incest and bastard curse because it was outside of marriage. See, we have gotten so adjusted to bastards that our children get pregnant and we love on that little baby, our grandchild. Look at my grandchild. And we don't even bother to break that curse of the bastard off from it. Isn't that terrible? You know, I tried to talk to a pastor that had his grandson with a bastard curse. He got so mad at me. And I said, I only said it because I love you. You know, I said, if it was the other way around, I'd hope that you'd have enough love in your heart to come talk to me so I can yell at you. You know? But anyway, I told him, look at it, you know, and you don't have Sam right. Just do something about it. 400 years is a long time. I would hope the Lord's going to take over this planet a lot quicker than that, but we don't know. But anyway, if you read in Genesis 38, you can see the account. We won't do that tonight, but it's a reading assignment, okay? But in Genesis 38, David gets crowned the king. There's a lots of stuff in there, but no, that's right. Thank you. That's the bloodline of right, Tamar, where it started. But anyway, that's what I get for trying to cut corners. But anyway, in 2 Samuel, that's where we really need to go. Chapter 11, in verse 2, it says, and it came to pass, David is now king, and at evening tide, that David arose from out of his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Now, it's not an accident she was out there, I'm sure. We have an enemy, guys. Watch out for temptation. And girls. Okay. But David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers, he didn't pay attention, He didn't pay attention to that wife stuff. And he took her, and she came in onto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanliness, and she returned unto the house. But verse 5 says, the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. Well, in God's mercy, that child didn't live. But David had other sons and daughters. Those sons, one raped his sister. Another one murdered that son in retaliation. Sons trying to rise up and steal the throne from their father. David, to cover, had Uriah murdered. All these things that happened, well, why did it happen when his sons were already born? Simple. They were generation two of a bastard curse. And look how bad it got. The sin that David did is nothing compared to what his sons. And you read, you know, the lineage of the kings, and you don't have to wonder anymore why all of them did the things that they'd done. And most of them tried to compete to see if they were worse than their forefathers. But it was because of that bastard curse that was on them. But yet, it's amazing. Jesus came through that lineage, and Jesus was considered a bastard. He lived his whole life under the accusation of being a bastard. That's why in Galilee, they wanted to take him because he couldn't come in the congregation of the Lord. They were going to stone him. He just walked right through. You know, la, 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 you know. He didn't run hide. He just walked right through because he had God's protection on his life. But he had to live under that temptation. To be called that would be a terrible temptation, okay? It would be a hard accusation to make. But Jesus lived under that. And that was one of the curses that could not be taken care of without living it out for 10 generations, approximately 400 years, that curse would be on. And in that amount of time, a lot of people get born. You do your math. You do your math. It's a lot of people. And then when they marry somebody, then that's brought in, the spouse inherits that curse too. It's not a pleasant situation. And amazingly, so many times, bastard children do come from incest situations. It's amazing how many times in ministering, how many times this comes up. But all the problems that this has caused, today it's coming in the congregation of the Lord. If you've been driven out of the church and you say, well, I got fellowship with the Lord, and you just about get this, they get, if you try to really talk about it, they get defensive because they're hurt. Because one of the main are probably the key, and I believe that he was one of the strong men, or generals, whatever you want to call it, is a spirit of offense. And they get so easily offended. They were driven out of the church by offense. When you go and talk to them, that's why you apologize to them for what's happening. You reason. Go in prayerfully. And if they don't want to hear, fine, leave it alone for a bit. Because there's other people that are in the same boat, all right? But God, I know, wants to gather his people back together. And if you're out there a loner, I got a daughter and son-in-law, and boy, they don't want to even hear me about this. I mean, it's close to home, okay? Oh, we get together as a family on Sunday, and yeah, they do. I guess, I don't know. Anyway, that's what I'm told. But see, you can't have fellowship with the head of the body of Christ if you leave out all the other organs and tissues. All right? Someone said today something about fellowshipping together. You did, didn't you, Doc? And you were sharing. See, we have to learn to fellowship with one another. If you're going to learn how to love Jesus and have a relationship with him, you got to learn how to love guys like me. But I got to learn to love guys like you, too. Okay. But see, so it's worth working with those hurt, those that have been driven out of the sheepfold. All right? See, and to bring them in. Because those people know other people in that position, and they know people that don't even know the Lord. And these people are being cursed all the time by these holier-than-thou clowns that probably drove them out in the first place, saying, they're going to go to hell. They're going to hell because they don't go to church. Well, you know what? Maybe their church is going to hell. I mean, it is hell to go there. All right? They need some Jesus in there. Just before we left Tennessee, there was a tornado come over and killed a mother and her two children. I'm standing there, and two of the righteous ones of the community. And if you don't believe it, ask them. And they said to me, well, brother, because I was kind of, you know, they thought I was a real outsider, this cursed stuff. Well, brother, you know, the blood's on the ground. She got cut right in two. She was thrown out a window, and the trailer come down, trailer house, cut her right in two. Blood was on the ground. And standing there, and these guys with the woman's blood spilled said, she's in hell now, brother, because she quit going to church. And you know what I said? Oh, you're so smart. No, I didn't. You know what I said? I said, you know, I've witnessed to this lady, and she was driven out of the church. I'm not sure who drove her out, but if you guys were that, I'd be on my knees. You know, of course, that gave me a lot of points. You know what I mean? But we didn't leave Tennessee. They moved us out. But see, religion is the meanest devils I've ever run into. And see, these religious devils have beat down the sheep. It's terrible. But Jesus had something to say with it. You know, everything that the goat, God had a purpose for the goat. It was a sin offering, right? Isn't it amazing how Satan has turned that around? Yeah, the scapegoat is one of them, but there's another example too. But that's been totally reversed in churchianity. Isn't that amazing? The goat is elevated. Because after all, he can really play the git fiddle. And I want to make things clear. That's not true about every praise. The praise in here has been so anointed this week. You know, it's been awesome. It's done in love. They have nobody up there performing. They're praising God and leading us right into it. Amen? And another thing, good praise, you get a chance to participate. See, we get to participate. See, you know it's because it's that body working together. It's a very important ingredient. But Jesus, in Matthew 15:24, he made it pretty clear. So we'll read what he had to say about this whole situation. But he answered and he said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. See, obviously, Israel, the sheep, were scattered then too. This is not a new concept, folks. This is not a new revelation, okay? It's not like cutting edge, okay? Sorry about that. See, Jesus was sent to the lost sheep of Israel, okay? All right? Isn't that amazing? See, Paul moved it all out so us heathens had a shot, ex-heathens, okay? I hope we're all ex. I asked God if there's any unsaved in here, and he said, no, we're all in the kingdom. So I could talk to you that way. But see, that's what Jesus was sent for, the sheep. Was Jesus called the shepherd? Huh? Wasn't he called the shepherd? So who would be the example that you could learn how to be a pastor, pastors? There's a lot of pastors in this room, by the way. A lot of you don't have the certificate or the license, but you are. Okay? Just look how you work with people and stuff, see? But see, Jesus is our example of a pastor. You know, in the cemetery, they taught us all these, you know, things to, you know, that was them. We learned some good stuff there, too. But go to Matthew 18, and let's look at verse 12. It says, how think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, does he not leave the 99 and goes into the mountains and seeks that which has gone astray? You know what's happened in most churches today when someone don't show up for church? Oh, well, they're out of fellowship. Yeah, well, there they went, back in the world. They just backslid. And I wonder who slid back. I guess that's not for me to figure out. But see, a shepherd won't let 2 or 3 weeks or a month go by without finding out why the sheep wasn't in the fold. We got telephones. You know, we don't have to walk a long ways. We don't have to climb up a mountain. But it says, and if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more at that sheep than of the 99 that went not astray. Why? Because it's lost. See, our concern for them lost sheep, you know what? We might get told what we did wrong. Whoa. Do we have a thick enough skin on us that we could be accused if we go ask them why they aren't coming? You know, we can have differences of opinion. You and I had one a couple of days ago, right? Don't have any more, do we? And that, you didn't convince me, I didn't convince you. I'm not picking on you, but that's fresh and real, right? Amen. It's life changing. See, differences come up, folks. We got to deal with them. You know, the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace of Ephesians 4, there are some key ingredients that need to be done, like lowliness. It's a service idea before you're ever going to get so you can love and have unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And then eventually, as you work through Ephesians 4, it gets into gift ministries. He's talking to every saint what we need to do. But he says, even so, is it not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should not perish? Now we, as pastors, and we as brothers and fellow sheep, if we save somebody from perishing, what do you think that means to Jesus Christ? He paid an awful price for you and me, and he did for them too. Okay, so you know what? Maybe they're a little hard to deal with. Maybe the shepherd's got to use his staff with that hook on it and grab that little lamb and pull it back. You know, and like I said, there's more pastors in this room than just the guys that got a card in their pocket that says that. But it's interesting. The Lord was talking about this clear back in the Gospels. Who's he talking to? The first guys that were going to take this Christianity idea from the day of Pentecost to move forward, right? In Matthew 25, 32, it says, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Pastors, it's our job. God started teaching me this years ago. I was pastor in Albuquerque, and I was spending all my time putting out fires. And the church was $8,000 in debt to me. I had a high energy level, I still, but not like I do now. I had a business, I was working 40, 50 hours a week, I was pastoring at least that. When there was a need, I just did it, you know. I'm not complaining, praise God, it went to the kingdom, you know. But one day, I just was out in the mountains talking to God. I love to go to the mountains and talk to God, you know. No distractions. But you can do that in the bathroom, you know, in the shower, wherever. But even on the stool, you know what I mean? He's with us, all right? So, you talked about keeping him with us, right? Not being self-sufficient. See, everything. We need to be talking to him. But I'd gone out and I just was so frustrated because Satan had convinced me I was the biggest failure as a pastor that ever happened. And yet we'd had somebody raised from the dead. You know, we had people getting born again. All these things that were happening. Someone healed of AIDS. You know, I mean, in that church, it was the first time I experienced somebody being healed from AIDS. I mean, and this was at the point that when they pulled the plugs, they said she lasts 5 minutes. So we had all these things happening, but we had all this. Finally, I said, God, I got to know, shoot straight. And he says, well, you're a good sheep herder. And I thought, boy, something's coming now. Well, you know, I'm a farm boy. He could talk to me like that. He talked to me the way I understand. He said, you know, if you don't look close, a sheep and a goat make the same kind of tracks. And he says, the droppings are so similar. And he says, you've been following after goats, Carl. And you know what? The sheep, I learned this thing the hard way. I guess in most things I do. But literally, most everybody that was left in the church was goats. So, God says, I said, what am I supposed to do? And he says, if you don't separate those goats from the sheep, you're not being the man you're supposed to be. So I very graciously went to each home where the goats lived and give them addresses of other churches. And I invite them not to come back. And they said, you can't do that. I said, no, but I own this building. You guys didn't put a penny into it. And if you come back, I'll have to throw you out. That simple. Just don't come back. And, you know, of course I got real popular, you know. And these people went to other pastors, and these pastors were calling me, reproving me. I said, well, you know what? They're goats, and you can find out for yourself. Thank you for calling. God bless you. Goodbye. You know, and they found out. But see, you can't change a goat into a sheep. But one of the weaknesses a pastor has, a man that really has a pastor's heart, is he don't know when to quit. And that was what was happening with Carl Fox. And I was wasting all this time, you know, on goats that aren't going to change. And I mean, they're seeing miracles. They're getting God's goodness. One of them had a tumor about this deep in her head and came on Sunday morning. She said, Monday I go to the hospital and Tuesday they're going to do the surgery. And basically, if they take the tumor out, she's going to be a veg and live a long time as a veg. I mean, why was she even thinking about it? But anyway, we anointed her with oil and prayed for her. And I said, before you let the butchers get their knives out, you make very sure that you need it. And, of course, they didn't really want to because they'd just done all these tests. And she insisted, well, there was no tumor. And yet this person, I don't know why God, except God is so gracious. This woman I found out just recently because we live in New Mexico again, 2 hours south, praise the Lord. But her husband came to me, and he was a sheep. Wonderful man, tender man. He come to me and says, he says, suppose you heard what's happened. I said, I don't hear much about up here, but it's happened in Albuquerque. And then he told me, and she got so deep into drugs, and then what somebody was sharing earlier tonight, when once you get in bondage to drugs, you'll sell your body or anything. And his kids are scattered, all kinds of problems. And yet, God, in his mercy, healed this woman. Now, you know, God is gracious. I don't know what's going to happen in her life. I pray that something changes. But see, if we're spending all our time chasing after goats, and we're letting the goats clear out the sheep pen, there's a lot of scriptures, folks. But I'm not going to hit them because you're all better Bible scholars than me. I'm just getting you across with an idea. But Jesus, I got to go to this one because this is kind of what's going on today. In Mark chapter 6 and in verse 34. And Jesus went, or Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and he was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them things. If you're going to spend all your time on goats, you will not have time to teach the lost sheep. Okay? You didn't hear me, so I'll say it again. If you spend all your time putting out fires that the goats start, you will not have time to work with the sheep. And these goats will get your attention. A goat has the ability to make you feel sorry for it. Okay? I mean, you talk about personality plus, you know, flesh personified in an animal. But you have to be aware, folks. And so it's really important, and I just need to cover one more scripture, and then we're going to pray, because I want to make sure we have the time to do that, and there's lots of things that need to be done tonight yet. And I hope you got the idea. This month yet, we're going to hopefully get finished a book on this subject. There is some stuff here, you know, and those of you that would like to get the book, I'm going to buy me an airplane with it, so it's going to cost you a lot. But anyway, I got a brother flying out on the 13th. That's him, and I turned him on. It was in his church, and we taught this in campfire meetings at night in Maine, and everybody in the church changed. Everybody did. And it was an awesome thing. And he started studying it, and he had to go up to Toronto, Canada to teach in an East Indian church. So he taught that. And he said, same thing happened. This is a powerful thing. So anyway, but this is the issue of the bastard curse, or the bastard is mentioned in the New Testament. Okay, is Hebrews in the New Testament? Right? I mean, Hebrews fits for you and me, too. You can say lost tribes. Now, hey, maybe we're part of that. I'm not going to judge it one way or the other for the sake of not getting in an argument, but I want you to know it's written to you. Okay? But anyway, this is on page 1048. Okay? But Hebrews chapter 12. And starting in verse 5, it says, through 9 or through 8, it says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. A goat won't take it. Nor faint not when thou art rebuked of him. A goat won't take it. For whom the Lord loves, he chasteneth. A goat won't get it. And scourgeth every son whom he receives. A goat won't receive it. If ye endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is it whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof are you partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. And I used to cry out to the Lord and I'd say, God, why aren't you changing these men? Look at what they're doing. Look what they're doing. He said, look in Hebrews 12. They're not his sons. They're the heads of churches and denominations, some of them. But by God's own word, they're bastards, not sons. See, so if you feel guilty by not dealing with goats, God don't. Isn't that amazing? Because he's not going to force them on there. But it says you're bastards and not sons. So it doesn't do any good to try to convince these guys to be different. You know, let's say rebuke them twice and hit the road, right? There's no use continually trying to change these guys. Try. That doesn't mean God's not going to send somebody else to try. But we can wear ourselves out. Because goats are... It's hard to pin a goat. And it seems like they can climb up a straight wall. You know, we had a neighbor had a goat. We lived 2.5 miles away, and his goat would get out, and every pitchfork or shovel we had leaning up against the barn, he would butt and break the handles. So one day I thought, well, I'm going to fix him by putting a little shovel up there with a piece of well pipe on it. And I had the pleasure of getting to see it, man. He backed up and he hit that thing and he went, whoop. We never could get the well pipe off that handle. But the goat didn't come back and bother us. Didn't kill him. Seems like it didn't hurt him. They're hard-headed, okay? You cannot convince a hard-headed person of anything. Because they got too much bone, the bone squeezing the brain. Praise God. That's another thing I asked God, is there any goats in here? Okay, because I want to make sure somebody covered them if they run. And God says, these are sheep. All right? You're sheep. Against the devil, we're bad. Okay? We're bad news to the devil. All right? See, it's not an insult. I heard preachers say, sheep are so stupid, it's an insult we're called a sheep. And I thought, I wonder if you're a goat. But I didn't say anything. You know, if God wants to call me a sheep, bah. All right? Right? See, it's a wonderful... You know why? A sheep needs a shepherd. See? And you aren't called to do your own thing. So get off from it. So those of you that are wounded, we're going to pray, okay? Those of you aren't, we're going to pray anyway. If you don't want to participate, you don't have to, but please, I ask you to. I invite you to. I love you. That's why I'm here. First of all, I love God. Second of all, I love all you. And I want to thank you. It's been a wonderful time being here. I want to thank Glenn. He's like my dad. I appreciate him. I just pray that I can continue someday to be the caliber of a Christian that man is. You know, and many other ones. Doc has taught me so much. I thank you for... Doc, I thank you for your stand. The staff here, you know, I know that this is a hard place to serve. Because we do deliverance. We get phone calls in the middle of the night, you know. God says, be ready, right? In season, out of season. I'm sound asleep. I hadn't slept well because of schedule. I get home and it's my bed. My body says, I recognize this place. You know? Sometimes we're gone so much we don't. But anyway, my body's enjoyed itself. It says, I'm home again. Get sound asleep, the phone rings, and there's this raspy voice says, Frate Carl. I knew it was a Romanian. Frate Carl. And it's broken English. He says, I'm dying. Pray for me quick before I'm gone. I pray for him, and he starts rejoicing, and he finally picks up the telephone. He had a cell phone in his pocket. This is no lie, folks. He'd fallen 5 stories. It's a miracle his cell phone worked. But a greater miracle that this man's alive. He lives in Dallas. He's a Romanian, lives in Dallas. But anyway, and that he had my phone number is pretty amazing, but we've never had a chance to talk about that. But he got healed, okay? And it was right in the middle of the night when we needed sleep. But see, God, if you will depend on him, you know what I did? I just laid down and went back to sleep. In the morning, I got thinking about it, you know? And then I started getting calls from his family. They were mad at me because I didn't send him to the doctor. And he went back to work. I said, give me a break. I said, how can a sheep come out of a goat family, huh? God does miracles. But he's still alive today. And he finished his training, and he's a powerful minister today. See? And Satan tried to kill him. See, because Satan seen the man's gift. Augusta Wind, the roofing contractor, Augusta Wind. He went right over the parapet. Whoomp. Lit on the cement. But see, God will even cushion a man's fall because of his love and mercy. So if you all would just rise up, I want you to just turn around and look at everybody and just say, I really love you. But, huh? All right. Glenn, I love you. Thank you, thank you. The greatest is love, right? Man, the things that we have been through the last few days. You know, and we've had some awesome Bible taught, awesome deliverance, and we ain't done yet. But I just want you to participate, if you wish, okay? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you with love in our hearts. We thank you that you are our Father, and that you can chastise us. Help us to humble ourselves to you. And lead us in the way that we should go. Jesus, you are the good shepherd. Have us be good sheep. Lead us, Father. And we praise you. And in the name of Jesus Christ, raise your hands, please. In the name of Jesus Christ, we command that the curse of the bastard is broken. We ask for and we receive the blessing that we fully and truly can come into the congregation of the Lord. Lead us, Father. Help us to find the lost sheep and bring them into the sheepfold. Help us to find good sheepfolds. Or if we have one, to make it better. Father, cause us not to judge. Let, if somebody's a goat, prove it themselves. But Father, we seek the lost sheep. And we seek the scattered sheep. And we declare in the name of Jesus that we are not going to forget this. We're going to go forward with this. That this year of 2004, we are going to be an active participant in the body of Christ. That we are going to bring the flock together. Those scattered sheep. And the lost ones that need salvation. And we thank you for this. We give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And sit down a minute, please. I want you to really take this to the Lord, okay? This will not work at all if you do nothing with it. Guaranteed. Zero results. Okay? But those that are doing something with it are seeing great results. And when you see results, the greatest, you know, when I'm in Romania, sometimes we'll see, we've had days where there's probably 50, 60 people we pray for to get healed. I mean, limbs grow, blind eyes see, you name it. And you know, and that has its excitement. But I'll tell you what, if just one person comes to the Lord, I can hardly sleep. I get so cranked up. And then sometimes we see a whole village. You know, but it turns you, I mean, this is an exciting thing. We're called, you know, you can't all go to some foreign country. I'm not discouraging you. But you all can participate and help. You know, Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, you know, they got their budget problems. But God bless, they have helped us in Romania on occasion. You know, and that draws our heart together. You know what I mean? But part of reaching those scattered sheep is there's a lot of sheep scattered that get into this place. We need to see Lake Hamilton Bible Camp continue. And not just continue, but to grow and prosper. Wouldn't it be wonderful, and I believe it's possible, just agree with me, folks, in the name of Jesus Christ, your word says that we should pray for laborers. And I agree and I pray for laborers to help my brother Glenn. In the name of Jesus Christ, send in good laborers that want to serve the body of Christ. In the name of Jesus, people that will work together, that will follow a shepherd. and will rise up to their responsibilities. And Father, in the name of Jesus, work it in people's hearts to not to be afraid to sign the bottom of the check with a gift to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. So, Father, that this ministry can continue. And Father, I just thank you in the name of Jesus Christ for the glory it is for us to be able to work and serve together. We love you, God. And Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ that every deliverance, every healing that's happened and will happen yet before this camp closes, that there's an angel set with the people, that it does not get stolen. I speak against habit patterns of sickness, habit patterns of pain, in the name of Jesus Christ, that they be broken, that when the enemy tries to throw the same old quiver and twitch in, I speak to the minds of the people to be sharp and not accept that as it failed. And we praise you, Father. I thank you that instead of aging this year, but we can rise up, that our youth can be renewed like the eagles. I speak to weary bodies, minds, souls, bodies in the name of Jesus, and I speak a restoration of our youth in the name of Jesus Christ. And I speak peace. I speak a blessing of peace on each and every person here, Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus. I thank you that your peace that passes understanding, Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace, and we praise you. We thank you that you have done so much as we have done so little. Help us to do more, Father. I thank you for just your forgiveness to flow. And Father, as everybody travels back, that they travel with protection. And when the enemy comes against us when we get home, don't say, I wish I was back there because everything was so sweet. Get thankful that you're on the field and you can put to work what God has equipped you with this weekend. And see, folks, this is just the start. It's always just the start. I've never met a perfect Christian, have you? I've met some that thought they were. Jesus juniors. But I've thought that sometimes myself, okay? So I'm a little repentance here. But see, He's equipped you. You know, we've been honed. Our edge is sharp. And let's go back and use it. We're going to be challenged. You know, the biggest challenges is when you see the biggest victories. You know, the challenges we've had with our kids being stolen in Romania and how through that, now we're reaching so many children to the Lord. And because we didn't quit, we had the privilege of reaching a whole village and the children brought their parents. I mean, this is a... And the government, because we dug them a well, gave us a whole year's rent of the school. And that's illegal. So I said, contract, we have to have a legal binding contract. And even the principal at school accepted the Lord. See, when the attack comes on, I cried so much when my kids were stolen. They were handcuffed. The older ones, they're being taken away. They're put in juvenile jail. They went through terrible things. But see, if we keep our focus on the Lord in the hard times, we see big and great victories. You know, Christmas morning was Christmas evening there, and a whole bunch of my girls had gotten out of the state orphanages and went over to our children's home. And they called long distance, and I called them back real quick. I have a PC net card, which they called pretty cheap compared to what it used to be, but I said, I'll call you right back. And each one of these children, and some of them don't speak English, so they had memorized what they wanted to say, and they memorized them in English. Sheila wasn't there, unfortunately, but these kids are, they were blessing me, see. With all the pain, God told me, I said, I'll never see all of them here on this earth. You know, but see, do we pity party? You know, you invite the enemy to a pity party, guess what he does? He shows up, nobody else does. And when you send invitations to a pity party, that's where the mail goes. But even though we hurt, and some of you in this room know how much it hurt because we talked to you about it and asked for prayer, but the victories are great. So as you get into it, I guarantee you, the enemy has been listening to the messages. Okay? All right? Even though it pains them. But see, greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. But God bless you. I'm going to stop. Hallelujah. I love you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.